Let us pray. God of grace, your Spirit led Jesus out into the desert to pray, to face his temptations, and to be made new. A reading from Genesis. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is a sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The word of life. Please stand for the Psalter. To you, O Lord, I hand over my soul. My soul is free when I wait for you.
My rebellion is only released to you.
Help me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my salvation. Teach me your way all day long.
I trust in your mercy, O Lord, and in your steadfast love, for they have been absolute forever. Good and lovely are you, God. Therefore, you show sinners your way. Your way, O God, is steadfast love and faithfulness.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's Gospel in the first chapter. Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan. And as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And immediately, the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and angels waited on him. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is now. The empire of God is here. Repent and believe this good news." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been in the desert a few times. There was once when I was in the desert on a day-long hike by myself, solo. It was a wonderful hike all day long. Toward the end of the day, as the sun was starting to go down, I entered this really jumbled landscape of rock outcroppings and little box canyons and arroyos and junk. It was a mess. And it was really hard to navigate in. And the trail that I was following was not really well marked. It was a kind of faint trail. It was basically just an overdeveloped rabbit trail through the brush and the rocks. And every once in a while you come across another rabbit trail, a real rabbit trail, and they would crisscross over, and sometimes they would run along and then they would diverge, and sometimes it was really hard to tell what was the people trail and what was just a critter trail. And as I worked my way through this landscape, I became a little uncertain that I was actually going the right way. And I was conscious that the sun was going down and that I still had a ways to go before dark. And you don't want to be caught in unfamiliar territory in the dark. Now, I could navigate that in a couple of ways. I could just blast on and hope for the best. I knew that I had a little bit of wiggle room for time. If I got lost, as long as I kept track of where I was, I could backtrack and then get back on trail again. But that could only happen once. I didn't have a lot of time to do that more than once. I had worked my way around this path, had circled this fairly high hill that was behind me now, and I thought another option is that I could climb up this hill that's got this big rocky outcropping at the top, and I could get up there, and I bet I could see and figure out what's going on. The problem is, that's going to take at least a half hour to climb this pretty big hill, actually. Climb up those rocks, look around, get my bearings, come back down, and start over again. Do I want to commit that time, or do I want to just plow ahead? I decided to go back up the mountain. So I turned around, found my way up through the brush, climbed up to the top of this hill. It was a pretty big hill. And got on the top of this route cropping, and it was gorgeous. There was the view. And I could see where I had come. I could see where I had gotten off track. And indeed, I was going the wrong way. And I could see where I needed to go. And I could see a couple of landmarks that would help me stay on that path. And I worked my way back down the hill. And that whole thing, like I expected it would, took me about 40 minutes. So I was 40 minutes behind, but at least I knew where I was. And I went in now a new direction, past those landmarks, and got there in time to relax and watch a gorgeous, gorgeous sunset. That's what Jesus is doing in the desert. That process that I went through of stopping and backing up and getting a view of things and examining where I was and where I'd been and where I went wrong and the mistakes that I'd made and how to go right, and then starting off in a new direction, that process is what we call repentance. That's what Lent is all about. We have this image that the season of Lent is supposed to be sort of dark and heavy and morose. And I used to do that. When I would fast one day a week for Lent, I would just be miserable and grumpy and not very smart. And every year Beth would look at me and say, "You're not going to do Lent again, are you?" And I would do it and it would be terrible until I figured this out. It's not a burden. It's not a gift. These 40 days in the wilderness are this opportunity to take the time, because we're given the space to back up and look and see all these little confusing rabbit trails where I've gone wrong, and to start off in a new direction. Because ultimately, that's what we all secretly really want. It's not an obligation. It's our deepest desire. You're created by God with a whole collection of spiritual gifts that are for the purpose of the blessing of the world. Kind of like your DNA. There's some stuff in you that God has put there, and it's for the world. And your purpose in life is to live that true life that God gives you, which if you're a plant, is easy. Right? If you're a tomato seed, you pretty much grow a tomato plant. If you're an acorn, you plant the acorn, you get an oak tree. Well, being a human being is a lot more complicated. I have all sorts of choices. And half the time, I'm not even aware of the choices that I'm making. I'm just on some little rabbit trail going somewhere until I realize when it's too late, I just went the wrong way. There are all these fears and desires and habits and instincts that confuse me, that get in my way, and that keep making the choices for me. I just follow the path and then I'm in a bad place. None of this means that I'm a bad person. But when that stuff happens, I do bad things. I'm trying to do a good thing. I think it's the right thing to do. But it ends up being hurtful. Because I'm afraid of not being in control, or because there's something that I think I ought to fix and don't know what to do, or maybe should fix but I don't want to get into it, or maybe don't need to fix but I think I can do something anyway. I should have gone left and I go right. I do that a lot. Lent gives us the space and the time to back up and to look and to say, what is it that makes me do that? Could I change that? Where is God leading me? And then, when I follow that path, I get to live this life that's so much more beautiful and grace-filled and powerful and peaceful. It's kind of a kick. It's a gift. We've sort of been going through that as a church over the last 40 days. The last 6 weeks, you've been hearing from the leaders about how there are these different paths diverging in the desert. There's the path of what we've been doing for a long time, but there's also the path of how much money we're putting into the pot to make that happen. And they're not the same path. So we need to figure out how we do that. So we've been in this process of backing up and looking at that. Who are we? What's important to us? What are our commitments? If we can't just pay for everything in the world, what do we need to pay for? Those are questions that lead us to that more true way of living. It's a gift. It's not an obligation. It's not a burden. Because the more we take that time, the more clear we are about the way we actually want to live. We get to do what we want to do. It's actually a gift to go out into that wilderness. It's not easy, but it is a gift. It can be really hard because, after all, Mark says Jesus was with the wild beasts. If we really do that work of repentance, we're going to confront things in ourselves that we don't want to see. Those things that are wild, their fears and desires and habits and instincts and attachments and addictions that I don't really have any control over. They're just there. But I can learn to choose whether I follow them or not. That little rabbit path might be there, but that doesn't mean I have to walk on it. And the great thing is we don't have to face those wild things alone. Jesus was with the wild beasts and angels waited upon him. This whole journey was in the presence of God. The entire journey was God's work from the very beginning. It's all a part of this covenant that you heard Jen read about in Genesis. God says, see that rainbow? That is my promise that I am for you, not against you. And this whole story started with Jesus' baptism, the covenant with Jesus. And he hears these words, you are my child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And immediately, Jesus says, I wonder what that means. And he goes out into the desert to think about that for 40 days. And in that time, God is with him, sorting that out, wrestling with those angels, being with the wild beasts, being waited on by angels. At the end of that time, he's clear about who he is and what he's about. It's like one of those things that you see on whatever country it happens to be has Got Talent, where some totally frumpy, untalented looking person gets up on stage for the first time in their life and belts out this gorgeous song, and you think you have finally found where you belong. That's what Jesus is doing, right? He comes in out of the desert, storms into Galilee and says, "Hey, you guys, the time is now. The empire of God is right here. Repent. Change your lives. Let go of your old agenda. And believe the good news. Live in harmony with this amazing news." He is doing what he was meant to do. That's what we all want to do. Live that kind of life. Repentance is just the way of getting there. It might look like a dangerous journey out there in the wilderness, but it's always, always the journey home to who we really are, who we really want to be. And the whole way along, there's this God who believes in us, who has created us for that, who draws us along, who accompanies us in the journey. It's a great journey. Take the time. Give yourself the space. Go out into that desert. It's good. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, for your perfect love, we give you thanks. And we pray that you will come with us, bring us with you on this Lenten journey of repentance. Help us to see ourselves clearly and to receive new lives that you give us. God, we give you thanks for your unfailing grace. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.